Peter is such a remarkable character in the Gospels, and of course, we can see why he's got that leanings of a leader. I mean, he's clearly a very strong follower of Jesus. He's exceedingly loyal. But I think we see another subtext of Peter in this reading, and that is Peter, trusts in the Lord. He trusts him so much, he just says what occurs to him, what's coming, right out of his spirit, what comes out of his heart. And here we see Peter reaching the pinnacle of insight and then going down to the nadir of no insight, all in like 2 minutes. But it's very typical of Peter. So, I mean, first thing, of course, he says, Jesus puts the question to his disciples. They're kind of right out on the border. Caesarea Philippi, right? This is an area which is just on the sea coast, and it's a big, huge maritime town. Those days, it was a big, huge maritime town, not big, huge today. But I mean, for that time, it certainly was. And it was kind of the embarking place for all kinds of ships to go to the Gentile world, all down Asia Minor into Greece and so forth. And of course, you have, of course, on the other side of it, Israel, its domain. So it's kind of at this crossroads to everywhere. And Jesus kind of puts this question to them right there: who do the people say that I am? And they give them a list. Some say Elijah. That would be typical. Some say, John the Baptist, or some say one of the prophets is risen. Who do you say that I am? And Peter comes to his pinnacle moment. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And of course, in the other Gospels, we've got the Q-logion, which not only says you are the Christ, but, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for no man has revealed this to you but my heavenly Father. So Jesus, Peter's certainty about Jesus' messianic identity is one of his greatest moments. And because of it, Jesus, literally is giving Peter this enormous accolade. Then, of course, he starts teaching him that the Son of Man's going to have to suffer and die. He's teaching him about the way of the cross. But Peter, it's not going to connect in with Peter. And he's thinking, we're doing well here. There's a lot of miracles going on. You've got tens of thousands of followers. Let's not talk about the cross here, because you don't have to go through it. You could just wipe out any competition. And of course, Jesus is going, whoa, look who knows so much, And of course, the minute, he says this in response to Peter, he really chastises him. He says, you're not judging by the ways of God, but by the ways of man. The ways of man are to be successful. You should be a winner. You should have lots of followers. And the one ingredient winners don't have are crosses and suffering. So let's not go there. And of course, the way of God is crosses and sufferings are good, because in faith, crosses and sufferings are going to lead to the resurrection. They are going to lead to the purification of our souls. They're going to detach us from the things of this world. Crosses and sufferings can be offered up for the salvation of humanity. Crosses and sufferings are not to be tossed into the garbage can. These are things which, when transformed by faith, are actually going to become our instrument and our road to salvation and the means of offering our suffering to others. That's the way of God. And of course, Peter has to learn it. But the best part about Peter is he's got a bounce back factor that's unbelievable. Jesus can say, "Get behind me, you Satan," and 2 minutes later, it's like, "I know you love me, Lord, and I got two questions for you." It's like he's dejected and then trusts Jesus, and he bounces right back, and he's back to Peter, you know, the normal self. And Jesus sees in that very quality, that childlike heart, that bounce back factor, that ability to learn, that ability not to remain dejected, but to go back to trust and hope. That is the one he's going to want as the leader of the church. Amen.